Patty Clark. I'm the senior advisor to the aviation director at the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. I worked on the 65th floor of One World Trade Center, which has become known as the North Tower. And now, I didn't know that a plane struck, but when the incident happened and literally the building moved, the building shook, the building, you could see, you know, I stood up and I looked out the window, you could see the building. It's sort of, you could see parts of the building. Then it came, it's almost like a pendulum. It went back, it moved again, and at that point, building parts could be seen coming, flying.
You didn't hear anything.
Oh, you heard a boom.
Oh, you heard a boom.
You heard a loud boom, didn't know what it was, and the sensation that I had was that I was never going to see my little boy again.
Over.
I looked, at this point I was looking out over towards Brooklyn, so towards the Brooklyn Bridge. Mm-hmm. But the remarkable thing was, once the building settled, it was like, I'm going to be okay. All I wanted to do was get out of that building. And what raced through my head, I was not there in 93, but had enough conversations with people that experienced that. One of the things they uniformly described was the darkness, was the smoke. And that's exactly what I anticipated. And I also put in my head, and it's funny how the human body works, but I just decided that my husband was in California. I would be out of the building before he would be awake and he wouldn't know anything. And therefore, I could contact him and tell him I was fine and he would be none the wiser. And we don't have a television. And so I convinced myself that my son Ian and his nanny Judy went for a walk. And therefore, they didn't know anything. And once I did that, it was very easy to move because in my head, they were taken care of. So I didn't have to worry about them. All I had to do was worry about myself. I do have to say that the good news about this is you did not have to think about where to go and what to do. The Port Authority was religious about having fire drills. And the important thing was because of the way we occupied so many floors in the building that more often than not, you would get caught in fire drills on floors that weren't yours. And so you knew what to do. And that, you know, I cannot underscore how important that is. And that you didn't have to rely on, like, you know, being sane or rational or anything else. You just by rote went. And when I got into the hall, went towards the stairwell that was closest to me. And I don't remember A, B, or C. Who knew they had name, numbers, letters before that. I saw Charlie, a good friend of mine. He was one of the first non-healthcare professionals that ever met my son. And his wife also worked with us on the floor. She had actually took the day off, so she wasn't there. And so Charlie and I entered together with a number of other people from the floor, and really we stayed together through the balance of the experience. That was what was also very comforting. When I got into the stairwell, it was light. The lights were working. It was not smoke. I had none of those sensations. So the thought of 65 floors, this isn't bad. Let's, you know, keep going. Now, it was funny. Before, in the aisle closest to the exit door, there was one of the consultants who worked on the floor was there, and he's directing people to go, all right, come on, move. And he was very authoritative. And he turns around to me, and it's like, oh, my God, Patty, what do you think it is? He's like completely, and then he turned right back and goes, okay, come on. So when he was in, it was like he was completely composed when he was doing what he had to do, but he was just, you know, scared out of his wits as is everybody else. I'm like, I have no idea. You know, we didn't know. Immediately you think bomb because of past experience, never conceived of the airplane. I mean, that just wasn't, yeah. Unfortunately, colleagues of mine who worked on the other side, on the north side of the building, saw the plane. And so they knew exactly what happened. I didn't know that until later. Well, we obviously knew something happened. What it was, we didn't know immediately. Then you started, people had pagers. And then you started to get a plane hit the building. So immediately you kind of think, because terrorism is not in your, you know, in our lexicon at that moment, you think some stupid jerk is looking at the Statue of Liberty, and then somebody else says, it's a 747. And then you realize this was not a mistake. And that's kind of when it takes on a different sense of reality. I mean, obviously you're in, you know, survival mode already, but then when you know that somebody did this on purpose, it just really... I had a backpack. That's what I had. I had on... Well, even that. I mean, it's funny. I had, the night before, I had forgotten to switch my shoes, because normally I wear shoes that are more like sandal type, because it was still September. And in this case, I had clothes. And I said, oh, no big deal. I don't have time to go back. I'm going to miss my train. So the shoes that I had on were closed, which was better in the long run for what I wound up going through. At some point, I can't tell you when, my jacket, I curled up into a ball and threw it into my backpack, just because it wasn't that it was hot, but it certainly wasn't, you know, pleasurable in the stairwell. But there was a dynamic about the stairwell, and we moved rather quickly, and then people were feeding in from lower floors, and you got to points of congestion, and then it would move again. There was a sensation somewhere in the high 30s where the building kind of shook again, which, you know, we didn't know what it was, and you just kept going. But we did, it was notable, and you just kind of moved on. Nothing like the initial strike, nothing like that, but yet it shook again. Then there came from above these, you know, kind of calls down, move to the right. And as you move to the right, people very badly burnt, being escorted by others, would be walking down, and that was just a very, you know, difficult, you know, people would all move as far away as possible to allow this to happen. But as a result, once that passed, the void then caused the dynamics of the group to constantly change. And so, you know, people who you were with, suddenly you were not with because of the way people moved and so on. And one thing I found on the way, that because I was with someone and I knew what comfort that gave me, I really felt it important to kind of befriend people that were clearly by themselves. I remember a man who was holding a library book. And so I was teasing him, saying, well, you know, it was a really good thing you took that, because the fine for bringing it home late is pretty, you know, pretty stiff. And there was another guy who had a Rite Aid bag filled with backup tapes. And I said to him, someone's going to kiss you on the lips for that. You know, and again, not thinking destruction, but just thinking out of the building for 2 or 3 months. And there was a man I talked to, he spoke Japanese, but we had a very nice conversation. He didn't speak any English, but it was okay. We still talked. a laborer who was there with his tools, and he was working in an elevator, and he had another guy with him, and he said, I couldn't find him. He looked for him, he couldn't find him. And I said, no, you know, he's all right. There's a lot of people, you know, he'll be okay. But it was important to me I guess it's the maternal instinct, but you try to take care of somebody else, and it kind of gets your mind off of what it is you're doing. I did mention at one point to Charlie that this was a lot like labor. And he thought I had lost my mind. But I explained it that when you're in labor, you have a job. You might not be happy about where you are at that moment. You may, you know, you might be scared. You might be in pain. But you had a job, and you really had no choice. So that was it. And I said, but the loved one who has to stand and watch you in pain, and watch you, you know, having that same fear and having being completely helpless, it's a lot more difficult. And I believe to this day that the people who had to watch, not knowing how their loved ones were, that was far worse. I mean, I knew I was okay. And so what they experienced, I think, was a far worse, you know, feeling, and it was a far worse morning for them than it was for me.